There are many places in the Scriptures where we read of various people's faith coming under attack. And those examples show us what is common in our world today, because our faith is under attack on many occasions from a young age till we leave this life. One of the most common places that there seems to be such an overt attack on faith is in college, when young people go in and then they start taking their science classes or even their religion or philosophy classes. Various professors will begin to set forth ideas that amount to an attack on the faith that we have put our full trust in, that is based upon what God's Word reveals, the truth that is set forth here. And therefore, there will always be a need for us to be prepared and ready to face those attacks. There was an occasion back among God's people in their history when one of the mighty kings of Assyria sent forth his armies and the leaders of those armies. And there was the occasion that's recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 36 when we're told about Sennacherib. Maybe you remember Sennacherib. And there was the great words of confidence that these individuals had in their assault against God's people in Judah. And they were so confident because they had enjoyed success after success after success. And so they thought about all these gods that supposedly were going to protect the nations that they had conquered. And now they come to Judah, and the Rabshakeh lifts up his voice with great confidence against God's people. And it's interesting to note in the very beginning of this chapter that verse 2, the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army to Lachish and King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Then Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, and the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say, you speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. Now, in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him." So he's laying the groundwork for all of the reasons why he wants and expects Hezekiah, the king, and the people to just wave their flag and give up. You think Egypt is going to help you? The mighty power from the south, they're not going to help you. If you lean on them, it'll just be like no help. It'll go through your hand. You'll actually get hurt if you trust in them. Don't do it. But, verse 7, if you say to me, "We trust in the Lord our God," is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, "You shall worship before this altar"? Now, therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. So he's now insulting them. He begins to cast doubt upon whether God can even help them. Trust in God? Is that what you're... And then he begins to say that, isn't this the God who Hezekiah has taken all his altars and destroyed? Well, among the children of Israel, there was the belief in and the practice of idolatry at various times. And some of the kings, like Hezekiah, took that problem into their hands and dealt with it. And he destroyed all those altars. And the king here, or the servant of the king, the Rabshakeh, is mistaking what Hezekiah did as if Hezekiah had taken the altars of God. No, it was the altars of the idols that Hezekiah had come against. But then, when he begins to speak to the people that are up there and are within earshot, verse 14 tells us, "Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me in a present and come out to me. And he says, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the water from his own cistern. So he is over and over again. Verse 18 says it again. And then verse 20. And so these people are hearing the efforts of the Rabshakeh to not only put doubt in their minds as to any allies that they may have. And of course, the Lord told them already, don't put your trust in any allies. You trust in me, I'll fight for you. And then he says, don't trust in the Lord either, because the Lord's not going to save you. He will not help you. No one can. Now today, there will be those who say, what? Do you believe there's a God? There is no God. Science has proven that we came from lower life forms and that we evolved, and that this universe itself had a beginning long, long ago that explains what we have today. You can even look at the geological table and you can see the evidence of what we're talking about. And so they will begin to try to destroy faith. And there will be those who seek to cast doubt on the scriptures themselves and say, look, the scripture is full of contradictions. There are those things the Bible claims that actually are false. And here is this passage, it contradicts this passage over here. And they will begin to try to assault the faith of Christians of all ages. Well, what we need to remember is there is one to whom we can go for strength and help in such times of attack, and it is the God that we serve, and it is the God who has given us that which supplies us with the answers and which is the sword of the Spirit. That's, we're given that analogy as to what the Holy Bible, the Word of God, is compared to, because in truth, we have to take it up if we're going to defend our faith, and we have to be able to use it. Now, when you send off, when the military leaders send off the young men to do battle, and they pick up that weapon that they are carrying, this is not the first time they've picked up that weapon. They have used it over and over again. They know how to clean it. They know how to take it apart, break it down. They know how to do everything with it. This thing is known to them. They're very familiar. And shouldn't it be that way with us and the Bible? Because that's how we're going to be able to defend our faith. Let me recommend to you that which can help bolster your faith. Of course, the scriptures, namely. But then there are those who have worked very diligently to prepare answers to help young people, people of all ages, to deal with these kinds of attacks on your faith. And of course, it's the brethren that we know that have the website Apologetics Press. They have a two-volume series you can use called The Anvil Rings, and it's all about answering alleged discrepancies that people want to claim exist in the Bible and other types of things. Of course, they have all kinds of resources that deal with the evolution creation question and all other sorts of attacks on the faith. This whole idea of apologetics is the idea of defending one's faith. When these words came to Hezekiah that were being spoken by the Rabshakeh, what did the king do? The Bible tells us there, and so it was, verse 1 of chapter 37. When Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. He knew where to go to find help and to be able to place his confidence. It was right there with the Lord. And then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So Isaiah sends by his servants to, or Hezekiah sends by his servants to the prophet Isaiah and says, we need the Lord's help. Maybe the Lord will step in and assist us at this time. So then Isaiah says to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Let's just say this. When there are those who try to assault your faith and who began to speak all these words, remember the words of the Lord by Isaiah the prophet to his people. These words still ring true. Do not be afraid of the words that they speak. Don't be afraid of them. Because God has provided answers. God has shown us the truth and reveals that truth in his word. There is nothing to be afraid of. We have what is set before us, his word, with confidence we can know that it is divinely given, has been divinely preserved by his providential hand throughout these ages, and that we hold before us the infallible, inspired word of God, by which, if we have faith in it and follow it, we will be saved in the end. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In the end, God will have a victory over all his enemies. They will all fall in the end, because the sword of the Spirit is powerful. And God, who will come in the end, send his Son in the last day, will bring all humanity before him and render judgment to each one according to his works, whether they be good, those who followed him in faith, or whether they be evil, those who've cast him off and not done his will. Tonight, if you're not yet a child of God, you can believe in the testimony of those who wrote the words in this book, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he did, in fact, shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sins, that he was buried, but that he rose again the third day. He has ascended back into the heavens, that he will come again to receive those who faithfully serve him to himself one day. If you need to become a Christian tonight, we can help you by showing you the path which involves faith, repentance, confession, and then baptism. Baptized into Christ, sins washed away, beginning a brand new life. And that faith must grow then. Is your faith growing? Are you walking according to the ways of the Lord as a child of God? Have you wandered? Have you faltered in your walk? Has your faith become weakened? Have you become one who's drifted into the ways of the world? Whatever your needs are, God can bring you back, strengthen you, and put you back on track. And if you need to come back to him tonight, we urge you to do that as we stand and sing.